woken up to the sad news that Dame Olivia Newton-John has passed away. And 131060, I want to open the lines. Just, you know what? Just honest and open about the fact that Grease and Olivia Newton-John and that sort of generation, that movie, it touched all of us in a particular way. It doesn't matter what age you are, everybody will be waking up hearing this news going, oh my goodness, I can't believe it.
And she was just one of, you know, Olivia Newton-John, just one of the women of our screens and someone who I think we were really proud to have as an Australian, you know, to represent us.
Yes, and I was wondering, I was just trying to sort of cast my mind back, and I think she was certainly, for me as a young fella, one of the first Australians that I was aware of that had really taken the world by storm, and so definitely we were proud of her.
Grease.
It's Grease. The word, isn't it? I mean, Grease is the word, Kim.
It's a mood, it's a feeling.
It really is, right? Now, this is the thing, like for us, so we were kids. Like, this is, so 1978, Grease hits the screens. Olivia Newton-John, bang, she explodes and she's globally famous and, you know, puts Australia on the map.
Hey, look up. I got a surprise for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Sandy!
Sandy?
What are you doing here? I thought you were going back to Australia.
We had a change of plans.
I can't. Well, that's cool, baby. I mean, you know how it is. Rockin' and rollin' and whatnot.
Classic, right?
And rockin' and rollin' and whatnot.
Now, even though I was born in 85, like 7 years after that movie came out, and a 90s kid, that was the movie where if it was on television, it was the movie where we were allowed to stay up late to watch it.
Which, okay, I suppose when you think about it, I don't know even that the themes are appropriate for kids, but our parents at the time didn't seem to think it was an issue.
No, there was just something about it. Like, and I remember that movie would be on every New Year's Eve in the 90s, because I would always remember we would have, you know, parties in Mum and Dad's backyard in Queen's Park, and for some reason, like, that movie would always be one of those that they would, the television networks would love to finish the year on.
Oh, yes.
And then, of course, you didn't go to a wedding or anything without hearing the Grease Megamix play. That's for sure.
Do you know, I think that the telling sign for me that I was probably up for a lifetime of summer relationships was that I had written on my ruler in primary school. I wrote on my wooden ruler, "I love Danny Zuko."
Oh, you're joking.
Oh, really?
I mean, I went for the bad boy. What an idiot. And in addition, he's not a real person. Danny Zuko is a character.
That doesn't matter.
That's how stupid I was.
And you say bad boy, but look at him. He became a pilot and an actor. You know, you did all right.
So 131060, want to hear about your Grease memories this morning. Ryan in Beachborough, good morning to you, mate. What do you got for us?
As soon as you guys put that song on, of course, I drive a truck for a living. I had it cranked.
Good on you, mate.
Because I sit up so high, watching everyone that actually has your radio station, they're doing the arm actions the whole lot.
Oh, brilliant.
Fantastic.
One thing,
nice one, Mix Fem. Nice one.
That's it.
You just get caught up in the feeling, don't you, Ryan?
Oh, man. As soon as you said it, Pete, goosebumps, that is not the word.
Yeah.
Grease was the word.
It is. It has a huge impact on our lives. It's amazing that a movie that actually, when you watch it back, is a little bit naff.
Yeah.
But we still love it.
Lorraine and Hilbert, tell us about John Travolta.
Yes. Well, I'm a huge fan of the movie. My daughter's a huge fan of the movie. We actually met John Travolta when he came to Perth. And he even, I've got videos of him holding my baby in his arms. Yeah. And my eldest daughter dressed up as Olivia, as Sandy, for a school dress up day. So, huge Grease fans, huge Olivia Newton-John fans. Very sad. I feel like I've lost a friend today.
Yeah. It's sad, isn't it?
That's how people are feeling for sure.
Joe in Henleybrook, good morning to you. What's your Grease memory? What are you talking to us about this morning?
My earliest Grease memory is wanting to share a bed with Danny Zuko.
Hey, Joe!
Oh, get out of the way, Kimber.
Yeah, get in line, Joe.
I didn't know why I wanted to do that. My mum had said she wanted to share a bed with Danny Zuko. So I decided, I want to do that too.
Oh, God, when you told people and you were younger, were people thinking, what is going on here?
They had no idea. Oh, terrible. Terrible.
Oh, I don't know, terrible.
I was too little to know what she was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, bless.
As me old mum would have said, he can put his boots under my bed any day, Danny Zuko.
He was such a bad boy. It was a terrible choice.
He came good in the end.
But you can't change a bad boy, and it was teaching all of us ladies bad lessons, man.
Who went where? Did Danny become, you know, like, better or nicer, or did...
Let's face it, they both had to change for each other, which is a ridiculous way to start a relationship and really unhealthy.
Oh, hang on, they met in the middle.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Hang on.
What's wrong
out?
With a bit of growth, Kimber?
Yeah.
It's not growth. She took up smoking. She completely changed her entire character and took up smoking to impress him.
But those pants... into those pants.
Hey, it has worked.
Thanks for your calls and sharing your stories this morning. It is a sad day, but obviously, you know, a big smile for all of the incredible memories that Dame Olivia Newton-John has left us with from an extraordinary career.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
We've got a very special thing that we do on a Tuesdays, guys. We're going to get stuck into it.
Yeah.
Let's keep this game going. Geez, I tell you what, Kimber, starting to really, after Matt reined you back in for a little while, you're really starting to blow that lead out again on this.
Trying.
Yeah. I'll just try it. Succeeding. You double his points. So, virtually. Matty, you're on 10. Kimber, 16. 16 points. So, 6 points.
I need to care more.
You get a ding for that, mate. That's a good start.
I need to make more of an effort.
Now, here's what happens. I've got 3 different montages of audio made up of moments in time. And did I just see lightning? Did you just see lightning?
I'm sorry, Pete. Lightning. I'm so distracted by out the window because for the first time ever, we've sat in this studio on Roberts Road in Subiaco for a very long time.
Yeah.
For the first time ever, the whole left-hand side of the window is pitch black, grey, looks like War of the Worlds. Yeah. And the right-hand side, the sun's coming out and there's a bit of light.
It's weird. It's weird times.
There's some weird stuff going on out there.
Nature, magic stuff.
So movies, moments in time, song lyrics, stuff like that. I'm going to play it to you one by one. Because Matty is at home at the moment, I'm going to be waiting for his text to be coming through to let me know what year he thinks it is.
Well, just reliable. To stretch this break out a bit longer.
A little bit more. Very reliable.
We're running early to 7:30 news, guys. We've got a bit of time up our sleeve. All right, here's your first one.
Closing time. Open all the doors.
Gatorade.
H2O.
Water sucks. It really, really sucks.
A little too spicy for John Howard. He's snubbed the world's biggest pop sensation, refusing to share the limelight with the Spice Girls during their Australian visit.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Producer Karen really gets some...
Yeah, you whipped that one out, didn't he?
Well, he gets you, because it's all your wheelhouse. I don't know any of those. I'm completely lost on these.
I think that movie in the middle, was that Waterboy?
Yes, it was. Adam Sandler classic.
Well, was it a classic? He was starting to become unfunny then.
That was, I reckon, the tail end of his first generation of being...
I think he was starting to become
Adam
unfunny.
Sandler. I reckon stopped at Click, and then he went through a period of about 10 or 15 years where he was unfunny. I feel like he's clawing his way back.
Yeah. Oh, he's made some terrific movies in recent years.
Yeah.
Matt's got the benefit here of at least knowing when John Howard was in power. Because I've got no idea.
I've just put it in something and I've texted Pete.
Yes, that's right. I've got the text.
I don't actually have any idea when he ran the country, so I'm just going to lock in this answer here,
okay.
Pete.
Okay. He's down. So, Maddie, you went with 92.
I did.
I went with 99.
I like this. There's a bit of
big
space between you two. It's a great gap. It's a great way to play the game. It was 1998, Kim.
Oh!
1998.
Lucky.
Maddie, all right, you're going to get this one back so we can square up the ledger. Here we go.
Always watching.
The Leaning Tower of Pisa has reopened after more than a decade of renovations.
Jeez, that could be an old one, that one. That sounded like it was in mono.
Well, the Leaning Power Tower.
I like
Pisa,
the Leaning Power of Pisa.
The title of my book. But that has been drooping for quite some years, which I can relate to. But what year was that? correct. I have no idea what the first two were.
Okay. I'm going, Monsters, Inc. I mean, it's got to be one of their greatest films ever created. I think I might, not sure about if I've gone too late there, but I think I have. I want to bring that back, Pete. Can I change that?
No. Once it's written down, you can't change it.
Yeah, it is kind of a rule that once it's written
down,
that's
it. Take it, but I think I've made a mistake. But Monsters, Inc., I think, was one of the greatest Pixar films.
It was very good, wasn't it?
Loved it.
I've just received Maddie's text because he's from home at the moment. So you've put in 2009. Maddie's put in 2003. There's another nice big gap between you two, which is what I like to
I
see
wanted
is
to
how you play
it
the game.
2005.
Yes, well, you still would have been wrong. So it was 2001.
Maddie.
We square the ledger. All right, let's go. Here's
baby.
Your last one.
CNN has confirmed that Whitney Houston has died at the age of 48.
You will be going in as undercover high school students.
Wow.
That was a good song. That is a bloody good song.
Somebody that I used to know.
And a big song.
It was a year that I used to know, clearly, but I can't remember it.
I don't know either. And I just talked about this song with people yesterday because I was talking about Kimbra.
Excuse me?
Kimbra, the chick who sang on the song with him.
Why were you talking about Kimbra? That's an unusual thing to be talking about.
She surprised me when she came into the studio.
Did she?
As in, like, physically surprised?
No. She was a not as big a talent at the time, not as known, but behaved as if she might have been very well known.
Oh.
Kimbra, are you saying that Kimbra had tickets on herself?
That's awkward. All right, guys, hit me. All right, I've got Kimbra's. For that text to come through from Maddie.
I went with 2013, but I think I've...
Now, this is exciting. So, Maddie went with 2012,
Might be on the money there, Maddie.
He is on the money. In fact, bang on the money. Oh, 2012.
Nice one.
Huge.
Nice one. You have to cut me off. No, please do cut him off now.
It's such a good song.
It's a great song.
You know, I played that for Steppy D and showed her the clip too, and she was like, whoa, that's cool.
Classic.
And she really likes Kimbra, unlike Kimba.
She's a great performer. I loved her gig. Mm. Her performance was excellent.
Yeah, sounds like she loved her gig too. 16, Kimba, Maddie, you get an extra point. You're clawing your way back, mate. 11 points. Well done. That's you kidding
Thank
me for another Tuesday. Back in a week's time.
Pete, Matt and Kimba on Mix 94.5.
We say goodbye to Dame Olivia Newton-John and that song hopelessly devoted to you from Greece, 1978, and an absolute classic. And from that classic scene as well, the sleepover, where all the girls are together and then she wanders out onto the balcony, the front porch of the house and starts singing that song. And far out. I mean, it's...
the magic.
This is a real sad one. This is a real sad one to have to say goodbye to such an absolute icon of Australian pop culture and movies and song.
And you know, even though, like, she'd been sick many times throughout her life, and they've not disclosed now what was the cause of her death, but she has been sick many times, but I think it was hard to believe because she always looked so well, saw her and she always was so vibrant and happy and positive, and I think that's why it's such a shock.
I mean, I was very much of the generation that kind of grew up with her being a very young pop star. I mean, I remember those nights on Countdown, songs that we recognise like Xanadu, but also the ones like Physical, when she was trying to break into that kind of, you know, 80s aerobics stuff. And so she went through, like all of those great performers that had a longevity in their career, they have to transform themselves continuously. And she did that, but was always able to hang her hat on that iconic performance in Greece and was much beloved.
Mm.
It was Greece was our, and I'll talk a little bit about this a little bit later on in the show because we want to talk about your Greece memories, but Greece was our We're Allowed to Stay Up Late movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, it was, if Greece was on, it was like, all bets are off, kids. You know, it doesn't matter, it's midnight, you're allowed to stay up late and watch this.
I think it was the VHS everyone had.
Absolutely.
It didn't matter whose house you're at. Yeah. They're like, just throw the kids in the room and put Greece on.
Mm.
And for a lot of people, it was their first musical too, right? At school, that sort of thing. So, yeah, lots of memories.
Mix 94.5 at 22 after 6. If you just join us, we're talking about Dame Olivia Newton-John having passed away and our tribute to her on P-Matt and Kimber.
It is with a heavy heart that we come to air this morning with the news that one of our greatest entertainers, Olivia Newton-John, has passed away.
Olivia has been a symbol of triumphs and hope for over 30 years.
She was a songwriter, an actress, entrepreneur, and an activist too. She won 4 Grammys. Of course, though, best known for her role as Sandy in Grease alongside John Travolta.
Tell me about it, Stir.
So yeah, I think that film, the whole experience of making the film and the whole aftermath is, well, for me, it's probably the most important thing I ever did.
40 years on, people still talking about it and wanting to hear about it and see it, and that's been an incredible phenomena, really.
Do you remember your first meeting with Olivia?
Oh.
Bad?
My heart pounded.
I got to dance with Gene Kelly in Xanadu. I got to dance with John Travolta. So two of the top male dancers in the world I've danced with, and I'm not a dancer. So I pulled it off. So tame. I mean, that's what I say on stage. Can you believe that I was banned for this lyric, you know?
Everybody had a crush on Olivia Newton-John. I certainly did. And then the thing that you discovered in real life is she exceeded those expectations. She was more beautiful in person than she was on screen or on stage. She was kinder and nicer and extraordinarily talented.
I don't feel I've done anything more than anyone else would have done in my position, and probably could have done more, but doing what I can.
You are the most optimistic, hopeful person I have ever met.
I love you. I honestly love you.
I feel I've done just about everything I could possibly dream of.
I don't know what my time is, but I need to enjoy my life, so I'm going to eat a cookie if I want it, because the joy of life and everyday living has to be a part of that.
Mix 94.5, Pete, Matt and Kimber, 25 after 6. If you've just joined us, we pay tribute to Dame Olivia Newton-John, who's passed away at the age of 73, and this from John Travolta on Instagram with an incredible picture, powerful picture of Olivia Newton-John, arms folded, staring down the barrel of the camera, saying, "My dearest Olivia, you made all of our lives so much better. Your impact was incredible. I love you so much. We will see you down the road and we will all be together again. Yours from the first moment I saw you and forever. Your Danny, your John."
Aww. Now I also have that image of the two of them just flying out into the sky together.
Yes, yep. Yes. Goosebumps. Aww. And more tributes to follow, I'm sure.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
You guys would know all about this, Pete, Matt. It's hard to work in the media when you're handsome.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nightmare, Kimber.
You yes. draw a lot of attention to yourself. Everyone's talking about you. It's a big deal. And this has happened for Logie winner and ABC reporter Tony Armstrong.
He is quite handsome.
Well, he is a handsome man. You might recognise his voice.
Tell us what's happening down in Melbourne today with the weather, Tony.
Well, Melbourne, down here, sunny day today. I think we're getting to a top of 14, pretty clear. So get your washing done today. Apologies to all the people who want outlook for everywhere else. Oh, no, hang on. I've actually got the auto key here now.
Just sweet, so dreamy. Handsome, dreamy. Mm. People are into him.
Those eyes, you just get lost in them.
Well, he's been rumoured that he might become the next Bachelor.
Well, oh, good choice.
That they could put him in the next series. Now, then he's had to come out and justify himself because someone's accused him of having a secret wife.
Oh, you're joking.
Someone came out and said, no, I think he has a secret wife. He just keeps her out of the limelight, doesn't bring her out. And he has now come out and said, that's ridiculous. Of course I don't have a secret wife. How on earth would I hide something like that?
The limelight? I mean, he's a, God bless him, but he's a sports reporter. Is that really like celebrity gossipy sort of
level? Well, yeah, because
level?
You'd see them out at things. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, of course, if they're talking about him being a bachelor, then we're talking about his eligibility. So I guess if people think that there's someone else on the scene and he's saying, sure. No, there's definitely not. I don't have a hidden wife. But I thought, it's, you know, and it sounds silly that he's like, of course I don't, but I know people who have had secret partners.
Yeah.
Secret spouse. Yep. Where you, like, I was dating them, and then was like, secretly found out that they had a wife. I had no idea. Like, used to hold hands with me and take me out for dinner, walk with me holding hands in public.
Oh, my God. So there was no sort of feeling that you were trying to be hidden.
I had no idea. God. We used to go out for dinner together in Subiaco, for goodness sake.
You're
and I'm like,
joking.
At no point did I know that there was a wife in this city.
Oh, wow.
So how'd you find out?
I'm
embarrassed. Tell me how you found out. This is great. This is the best part of the story.
I woke up really early in the middle of the night. Yeah. Like, I had a bad sleep and I woke up very early one morning and saw him tagged in 40 photos at his own wedding.
Oh,
my goodness.
Oh,
you're joking.
Hours later, all the photos had been taken down. But
really?
I had seen them in time.
And then how long did you date him for after that?
Oh, we're still together.
I would like to know, 13, 10, 60, when did you find out that someone had a secret spouse? And it's awful when it happens. It's awful.
I work with a wonderful lady doing a show, and you know, she came to work. We were rehearsing with a big diamond ring, like it was massive, and her dude was obviously very rich, and but he spent a lot of time in Singapore traveling and whatnot, and I found out, you know, a couple of months after we finished the job and she was all ready to start their new life, that he had a full wife, kids, the whole kit and caboodle in Singapore, and neither knew of each other, about each other.
Oh,
and it just seemed like he was going to, you know, live that double life for as long as he could.
13, 10, 60, when did you find out someone had a secret spouse? Renee and Mandra, what happened?
In my early 20s, I was dating this guy who did drive-in, drive-out from Mandra to Kalgoorlie, so... For one week he'd be in Kalgoorlie and the next week he would be in Mandra. So it wasn't anything unusual to not see him for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So very part-time boyfriend, I guess. He sent me a text on my birthday, I think I was 22 or 23, saying I've got a life in Kalgoorlie that I've decided I'm going to, you know, choose over coming back to Mandra. You know, we've been working on our relationship for the last year, which is the same amount of time that we dated, and that was that.
Wow. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Thanks
for everything.
Oh, God. How are they getting away with it? It's so bizarre. Annie and Ashby, tell us, how did you find out someone had a secret spouse?
So I was dating for 12 years. And I discovered after 3 years into our relationship, he decided to get married to his ex.
What?
Oh.
Hang on. Like, play this out for us. Like, after 3 years, he decided to get married to his ex. So was he seeing his ex through the time you guys were together and that was
apparently
all going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, so he has kids with her and so obviously using the excuse that he was going to see his kids, going to live his other life.
That is very rare, I would imagine, too. Like, the actual...
I would like to hope.
Chances, like, going back to your ex and actually wanting to spend time with them, like, that's amazing. Wow.
Man, I just don't know how people can do it. It sounds tiring. It sounds exhausting.
I'd be exhausted, man.
So exhausting.
I can't stay on top of my own life, let alone multiple others.
I can't.
George in Bankshire Grove, how did you find out someone had a secret spouse?
I had an affair with my friend's mum.
What?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, George.
George. Okay. Now,
it's like something out of American Pie.
Now, we're going to assume that because you've made it to air, that this is all safe and consenting adults.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So how did this happen? Did you put moves on or was this suggested to you?
I probably put moves on.
What do you mean you probably put moves on, George? You probably
if I'm honest
on?
With myself.
Okay. So how did your friend find out then?
Caught us kissing and seeing each other.
No!
Where?
At their house. I was just hanging out with my friend and I would go around and
have a cheeky tash.
Yeah. Yeah, George, pretty much.
Does your mate now call you dad?
they call me stepdaddy.
Wow. You know, but why not? You meet the person you love through many different avenues, don't you?
Wow.
You do. But wow, that's epic. I only thought it didn't happen in American Pie.
Yeah, apparently.
Happens in real life, guys.
Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
The 100. It returns tonight after the block on Channel 9 and 9 Now as we catch up with one of our favourites.
Please welcome Andy Lee.
Andy Lee, good morning, mate.
Hello, team. How are you?
We're going well. Now, I've got to ask this question right off the bat. How often is there a new season of The 100? Because I feel like we speak to you probably every 6 weeks for a new season of The 100.
I know. Three seasons within a year seems a bit weird, doesn't it? I don't know why we've broken the traditional rule of one season a year per TV show, but thankfully the network want it back, so I'm happy.
No, it's like selling out a good piece of theatre, really, isn't it? If you only do six episodes, then you can crank out a few more seasons throughout the year.
Yeah. I like to think that every singular episode is a season. So I think we're actually up to around season 18 or something.
Andy, one might think that 100 people is not enough to get a good consensus of how the community's thinking, but when you look at today's journalism, 100's probably more than anyone's, you know, doing like for their political surveys or for whatever. So you do get quite a nice cross-section of Aussies, don't you?
Well, the 100 comes from a pool of now 13,000 people that have applied to do it.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're handpicked to represent the cross-section of Australia. We've got all the states and territories covered as well as demographics. So, yeah, I think it is pretty accurate.
Hey, Andy, there's always a big question that we like to hear from you that obviously the 100 are going to be canvassed about. What's one we're looking forward to this season?
I've got a few for you.
All right,
see how you go. What percentage of Australians eat the skin of a kiwi fruit?
Ooh.
Something really tough. Oh.
I'd go 4%. About 27%.
I'm going to go 74%.
Oh, I'm going 4%.
14% is the win there. So, 14%. I don't know who won that one.
Full of nutrients.
It was sort of in the middle.
It was a team effort. Andy, team effort.
It feels weird, though. The feeling on your tongue. Why would you?
It's like peaches.
I found out tonight that Sophie Monk likes it. She eats the skin of a kiwi fruit. She said she likes the fur texture.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
That doesn't surprise me at all, Andy. It doesn't surprise me at all.
All right. What about how many Aussies have hooked up with a teacher after leaving school?
Oh, no.
Hang on, all right. Let's go around the
Not
room.
Enough.
So,
okay. You know what? I hope it's less percent than the kiwi fruit eaters. So I'm going to go.
Hang on a minute. Sophie Monk's done that as well.
I'm going to go 10%. Oh, God.
10%. One in 10 people.
I'd say 5.
It feels 5%. High, but I thought that about the kiwi fruit.
I'm going to go.
1%. 1%.
Oh, sorry. 1%.
I've already given it 1%. I was just shocked with 1 in 10 people are getting it on with
you. You know what, Andy? I'm trying to be really contemporary because when I think of my high school teachers were just old grey haired dudes who,
not grey haired, George Clooney type grey.
But then when I started teaching, I was all of 25.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'm like, there is a bunch of teachers out there that I thought, maybe they're a bit younger and cooler now.
I went there.
Yeah.
That's a story for another time.
Not a story for another time. It's a story for right now.
Sorry, Andy. We're running out of time. we've got one more. Just quickly, one. Hit us with one more.
Okay. How many Australians have heard a deathbed confession?
I
reckon we're going up. I'm getting up in the 55% range here.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Maddie, 55? Around about Have any of you guys heard one?
No.
Not a confession, no, but no. I'll say lower than that.
You know, just 14. Because no one wants us around when they're dying, that doesn't mean they don't have anything to share.
Yeah. I thought Nonno gave me a deathbed confession and then he lived for another week. So
all my dad said was, please never eat the skin of the kiwi fruit.
Andy, mate,
4%.
4%. There you go.
And you'll hear a cracking confession on tonight's show if you tune in.
Bring it on. Good on you, Andy. Nice to catch up with you. We'll speak to you again in 6 weeks.
Yeah, look forward to it.
See you all.
Pete, Matt and Kimba.
Now, guys, little local champs. Now, we've been talking about this for the past few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point has been you jump online to mix.com.au, you let us know about your local junior sports team, and then us alongside Spudshed are going to be at your sporting ground cheering the kids on from the sidelines. And it's at the stage now where we finally picked our teams. That's why we're saying good morning to Cindy and Thornley. Hello.
Hi, how are you going?
We're great. Cindy, you've nominated your daughter's team. Tell us why we need to be coming out and supporting the Bulldogs.
They're a great little team. They all try their hardest every week. Unfortunately, they haven't really had a win under their belt, but I think that they'll probably pull out all the stops to win in front of you guys.
Cindy, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I kind of do. I've been waiting for this moment all my life. I love soccer, and I've always seen myself as a great motivator and manager, and so I am preparing the greatest pre-game speech you've ever heard. So go the Bulldogs.
Awesome. Excellent. That's so cool.
Cindy, it must be hard. They're out there slogging it out every week and they haven't had a win yet. Is it because they don't quite have the skills there yet or they don't have the confidence?
I think that they try their hardest and they're really good players. They are. I think it's the direction that they get given, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, well, let's confuse them even more. Thrilled.
I mean, if one of you guys want to coach the game whilst we're there, we could bring them luck.
I'm in. All right, come on, let's go. Just play football, Bulldogs.
Just try and stop him. We are really excited to be supporting the team. We can confirm the three of us will definitely be at Hannah's game on the weekend.
Yeah. Hannah's going to be stoked. She loves you guys.
We are going to be there. We can't wait to cheer her on. And so this Saturday, 9:30 a.m, we're going to be at Kerry College Oval. Is it Kerry College?
Kerry College.
Yeah. In Harrisdale, we're going to have Mix 94.5's Roadrunners there, and we're all cheering on the under 12 Bulldogs.
Yeah, and on top of that, this is an open invitation, so we want to get behind the Bulldogs in a big way. So if you're listening, you're in Harrisdale, Southern River, Piara Waters, Canning Vale. I know the area very well.
You do.
Thanks for choosing somewhere
like
that, you guys.
It's a bunch of kids doing their darndest, and they want a bit of support, so get on the sidelines with us.
And can I just ask, Cindy, what are the colours of the Bulldogs?
They're grey and black is their uniform.
Okay. Grey and black.
How are we going to find an outfit for that, guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going full emo on Saturday morning.
It's like a grey shirt with black writing.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
I love it.
Cindy, thanks so much for you and Hannah entering and putting your team in there. We can't wait to meet you on the weekend. We're really looking forward to it.
Awesome. We're so excited. I hope the whole team is because I haven't told them yet. So
hopefully they're hearing it now.
Yes.
Good on you, Cindy. We'll see you on the weekend. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you're in the area, as we mentioned, come down, grab yourself some Spudshed fruit, play the spinning wheel. We got plenty of prizes as well. It's little local champs with Spudshed and Mix 94.5. And get the free Spudshed app and even cheaper prices. Download the app and shop at your nearest Spudshed today. Look at you, Matt. We can't contain you. You're rubbing your hands together in delight over this thing.
Well, I have to say, you know, without revealing too much about my private life, Steppy D and her basketball team, I've wanted to coach that team from afar, but I know I'm not allowed to because I'm too embarrassing. So this is my moment to shine, baby.
These kids don't even know how embarrassing you can be.
No, they don't.
So we'll see you Saturday, 9:30, Kerry College Oval, Harrisdale. Come along.